Tonight's Big Brother 21 recap is sponsored by KiwiCo. KiwiCo is the subscription box for your kids that's fun, educational, and helps them develop creative confidence to change the world. For our listeners, go to KiwiCo.com/Rob to get your first month for free. Every day counts when it comes to making a difference for your kids. Don't miss out on this amazing opportunity at KiwiCo.com/Rob for your first month at free at KiwiCo.com/Rob. Coming to you live from my apartment, it's Rob Has a Podcast. And now here's the guy who you know is the ultimate mental animal. I am Rob Cesternino. Hello, everybody, and welcome back. And we've got a really fun show for you tonight here on Wednesday night after we watched Jackson win the veto and decide not to use it. We have with us a Big Brother guest that for years people have been asking us, please, please, please. Can you get this person on the podcast? We'll try. We'll try. And tonight, we finally have her. Here is the great of Big Brother 12, Big Brother 14, The Amazing Race 31, the great Brittany Haynes. Brittany, how are you?
I'm so well. How are you?
I'm so excited. This is really fun. So happy to have you here. Of course, Brittany is the host of her own live show on TV Co. You need to get the TV Co app and go ahead and check out Random Acts of Brittany live on Tuesday nights at 7 p.m. Central. Brittany, so nice to have you here with us.
Thanks. I'm excited to be here.
Okay. Brittany, what is Random Acts of Brittany all about?
It's all just about random musings of whatever I'd like to talk about, which has mostly been, I would say, Big Brother. I usually have some sort of a Big Brother guest. It's been someone different every week. And we kind of talk about what's going on since BB, what's going on in the Big Brother house this season, etc. But it's called Random with intention, because it could be whatever, whatever's okay. Going on.
All right. Yeah, check that out on the TV Co app. Lots of great shows on there from other Big Brother favorites. Lots of stuff. Corinne does her stuff on there also, another amazing racer. So that's all on the TV Co app. Of course, a man who is no stranger to making all sorts of content. Here he is, the man of a million faces, Taryn Armstrong. Taryn, how are you?
I'm great, Rob. I'm hoping that you know that when you look at me, you can see home.
See home. Yes. Always. Yes.
Always.
Okay. Yes. What?
When you look at me, you can see home.
What?
When you look at me, you can see home, Rob.
Oh, yeah, like that's like three exits from my house. Yeah.
No, stop.
No. Yeah. Oh, boy. All right. So hashtag RHJP, get your questions in here tonight with Brittany. We're going to have a lot of fun talking about everything that's going on. Brittany, talk to us. Big Brother 21. It seems like that the editors are finally realizing how much dislike there is for this cast of characters. How are you feeling about Big Brother 21?
I've not hated it. Like, I feel like it got really, like, in the beginning, everyone said it's the worst, which they say every single season. And then I was like, this is going to pick up. Like, I feel like there's real potential here. And it has gotten better. Would you not agree? It's gotten better. As, like, everyone said, oh, I hated Source Season Ever. And now everyone's like, oh, it's actually, like, there's drama happening. And I feel like there's been decent drama. So I have not been not happy. Would I say it's my most very favorite season ever? No, but It's been definitely fine.
Yeah. Definitely fine. We'll take that, right, Taryn?
Definitely fine.
Especially from where we were.
Which is an improvement.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, we have the audience rate the season as a whole every week when we do our weekly roundtable podcast. And it started in around a 3 out of 10 range. Okay. And right. it has climbed up to like a 5.5 out of 10. So it's, you know, people
getting
are
better every week.
Yeah.
Nowhere to go but up.
Exactly.
That's great. Good for that season. I mean, Honestly, so many people said that they hated season 12, and then people said they hated season 4. People it's hate true. It every single year.
Mm-hmm. Well, look, we've manifested some exciting stuff right around now, and we have Jackson's HOH, and then Jackson ultimately winning the power veto, and it's the beginning of the end for Christy. She's had a rough week, Brittany.
Yeah, she's had a rough time.
Yeah. Brittany, are you feeling sad for Christy, or are you enjoying seeing this comeuppance for her?
I'm enjoying seeing the comeuppance. Like, it's a great juxtaposition from her super ultra confidence in the beginning. And then now, like, the reality is set in. She's very sad. And it's kind of great. I mean, not to be rude, but yeah, it's kind of nice. You know, you like it when you see somebody that maybe isn't your favorite and they get a little bit of comeuppance in the game. It's a nice payoff.
Yeah. How do you think she's handling all of this?
Not well. Not well. I would say not well. She's an emotional person, which I can sympathize. I'm quite emotional myself. And it is really, it doesn't make sense, but it's just truth that when it's anyone going home but you, you're just like, so fine. You're like, okay, well, you'll be fine. Like, you'll be fine. Bye. And then when it's you, it's so freaking devastating. But like, you feel 0% devastated for anybody else that it happens to. And so this is like, you're seeing this happen through her. Like, she's seen all these people go week after week, and it's like, oh, you'll be fine. You did great. But then when it's her, it's very, very devastating. That really is how it is. Like, I mean, that's how it was for me. It's just like, oh yeah, no, you're good. You're good. It's fine. Mm-hmm. Just go peacefully. Like, you're great. But then when it's you, you're like, this isn't fair. Mm-hmm. I shouldn't have to go. Like, that is very much how it feels.
Now, Tommy is the person who's been caught in the middle here a little bit this week. But based on what we're seeing from the episode, he doesn't seem super sad to have Christy
He's not super sad. I think that he probably sees it as like a little bit of a good thing for him in his game. And like I said, when it's not you, you don't care that much. Mm-hmm. He's like, okay, bye.
Yeah. Taryn, did the edit get it right, or are we getting a little bit of a different picture?
I think the edit pretty much got it right here. You know, it went along the right chronological lines. This was pretty much how it happened. We even got, I was actually really fond of the editing tonight in terms of some of the segments that we got. I really liked the drop to commercial on the line of I'd rather live on my feet than die.
No, I have that one. They've really built it up, the Jacksonisms that we're all waiting for them.
But I'm not cowering down to Christy. I'm not. I would rather.
Wait for it.
Die on my feet on my knees.
Yeah. I love. They're building in the sound effects for it, Taryn.
Yes, that was great. The great timing, and then we already sort of mentioned the home. I think they nailed it this episode.
Yeah, no, it's been very fun to you know, from where we were earlier in the season. You know, definitely are having more fun with these characters. Brittany, are you on Team Jackson yet? Have you come around to Jackson or Mickey?
No. Mm-mm. No, was I supposed to do that?
It seems like, you know, especially from what we're getting on the TV show, that I think where he's getting a much more favorable depiction.
Well, I feel like that happens usually in an underdog scenario. Like, people kind of come around, like, because you know, you get that nice underdog story. But no, I have not come around. Mm-hmm. I hold grudges, and I no.
Yeah. What about Holly? Do you have any feelings about her as Jackson's showmance in the house?
Not really, like, strong feelings either way. I think, like, tonight in particular, I thought it was really awkward when she went and sat with Christy and Annalise and was like, oh, I didn't know which way that was going to go. Like, I was just cringing watching that moment. Like, come on. Like, how unbelievable and ridiculous. I don't know. She really tries to, like, I think, play both sides, but I don't feel strongly about her one way or another. Like, I really liked Kat. Kat was my favorite.
Mm-hmm.
Paul and Kat were kind of good with each other, which I thought was strange anyway, but I don't know. I don't feel super strongly about her.
It seemed like that we spent a lot of time in this episode talking about Christy's thoughts on Nick. Then did you feel like that Nick was a person that Christy should have been focused on in this episode?
I don't know. I haven't thought about Nick in a while, so I don't know really what the deal was there. Mm-hmm. It was strange.
Yeah.
But perhaps I'm not into the minutia enough to understand like what's going on deep down in their relationship, but yeah. It was a little odd.
Taryn, what is Nick, is he playing dumb in the diary room? Does he not know why anybody might not be trusting him?
No, I think he really is having trouble here. I do want to say, just to Scott, potentially, if we check the Restream dashboard and toggle the YouTube little thing there, that might help out with the YouTube stream. I think that what we have with Nick here, like, ultimately the problem was that Sis was asking Nick, please don't use the veto on me. Please use the veto on Christy instead, because I'm a master of this game. I have a great social game. Everybody likes me, not to toot my own horn, but I'll definitely stay no matter what, which is definitely not true. And so she wants Nick to use the veto on Christy. And so she feels when she asks Nick to do this and Nick says, no, I'm not using, no, I want to use it to save you. You're my number one ally, not Christy. I don't want to risk you in the game. She's like, no, Nick, why aren't you playing ball? Why aren't you being a team player? This is not trustworthy. And Nick just does not get it, because we see when he goes to play in the veto, he's saying in the diary room, I need to win this so I can take Sis down and prove that I really am loyal to them. But that's not what they wanted him to do, and that's the problem.
Yeah, it seemed like that Sis was like, all right, here's what you need to do, Nick. And he's like, no, can't do that. I'm gonna get it and use it on you. Brittany, is this just a ploy for Nick to get closer to Sis?
No, I think that he thinks it behooves him for Christy to go and for her to stay. But then at the same time, him selling her that line makes it seem like, I'm so loyal to you. Like, I choose you. I'm afraid you would leave. Like, I can't do that. You might get evicted. And so it is kind of nice. Like, it's stupid for her to want anybody else to have the veto used on them. So, I mean, I understand where he's coming from, and he probably thinks that it's smart strategically in both ways.
Yeah. Taryn, is Nick just such a chivalrous guy?
That's not the word I would use necessarily, no. Just maybe like take that same concept and make it more crass, and that's I think what you're gonna start to see with Nick. He wants to protect Sis, but he has his own agenda there, you know, whether it's game or, you know, personal. I don't think it necessarily has to do with being chivalrous, though.
Yeah. Okay. Christy very focused on Nick and just his overall sketchiness in this episode. I thought this was...
Nick is so sketchy.
Yeah. He's pretty sketchy, right, Brittany?
He's pretty sketchy. I would say yes.
Yeah. All right. So we get this all set up for the power of veto, and we had to balance all of these stuffed animals on the different rods. Ultimately, Jackson is going to win. Taryn, you like this competition?
Yeah, I mean, it was interesting. It was definitely they're very creative. They have to find out new ways of making the contestants look like idiots, and so giving them these huge flippers and having to like stomp all over was a new way to do that.
Mm-hmm. Now, Brittany, we've been trying to follow all season long about Cliff's stories prior to meeting Mrs. Cliff.
Oh, right. Yeah, and he does put those in.
Yeah, and this was what we ended up hearing about during tonight, and maybe we can try to figure out what's going on.
I'm using one hand to try to hold on to the sea creatures that I've already balanced. My other hand's trying to add new sea creatures. I haven't handled this many rods since that fishing trip with the guys out to the Gulf of Mexico. You know, way before the wife.
Why are they making Cliff say these things, Brittany?
I don't know. It's not good.
Yeah.
I mean, I don't know if other people think it's hilarious. Maybe. I don't think so.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Taryn, what are they trying to tell us about Cliff?
Look, some people, they have a lengthy history of debaucherous activity before they settle down. I think that we're just, you know, Cliff seems like a nice, gentle guy.
Things? Yeah, I think that it's real. I don't think he was really handling lots of odds. Like, this is just some kind of a punchline, which I understand. It's just, I don't know. I don't really get it.
Yeah. I don't know why Big Brother is even putting these things in there. Like, who is this? Who is this for?
I don't know who it's for. I mean, I understand the point of it, but it's not my favorite. Hmm. It's definitely nothing compared to, you know, like the sequence of Mickey saying all the sayings or like the thing that we got to. I don't know. I'm not a huge fan of the Cliff before the wife situation.
Yeah. Going back to, you know, Jackson wins the power veto. And then we come back to the house and we get, not since David Hasselhoff visited the house in Big Brother 13. Do you remember that when in Big Brother 13, David Hasselhoff came in?
I don't remember David Hasselhoff in particular.
He had a show that was going to be on CBS that was, was that the show where they had like a, hey, I get that all the time, where it was like, I think Jeff Probst was on it, where they had like a famous person like working like in a supermarket and then have like people.
I don't remember that at all. I don't remember that show either.
And he came in and he was talking to like Big Jeff and Brendan and Rachel in Big Brother 13. And so, but yeah, Baywatch is back and we got to see Tommy and Holly playing Baywatch with Nicole, and it was a very upsetting thing to see.
It wasn't that upsetting. Did you think it was that upsetting?
It didn't bother me, but I know it was something that was very upsetting to Christy and Sis.
Yeah, this goes back to what you were saying about him not being that sad. But I mean, like, I can see from her perspective, when it's you, it's like really, really, really freaking devastating. And little things like that definitely would really bother you. But like from his perspective, it's, you know, fine. Like mm-hmm. he's just having a good time. It's innocent fun. Of course he's going to miss his friend, but oh well. So like, I don't know. Yeah. I think that she's definitely being overly sensitive, but I have to say that you do tend to be that way in that position.
Hmm. Yeah, Taryn, I know you chronicled all of this on the live feed update, and it just seems like this was kind of like the visual evidence that Tommy is moving on.
Yeah, it was less so the Baywatch itself and more the fact that it was with Holly. With yeah. Holly, of all people, the person that's taking her out of the game, the person that Tommy has been defending to her, he goes to Christy and he says, look, I get the move. I mean, it makes sense. She's like, how could you? Mm-hmm. Not only are you working with them, but you're playing Baywatch.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
No.
Yeah.
And a rational mind might say, well, she was the other red bikini, but... You know, when you're really, really, really sensitive, it doesn't matter. Like, it's just super hurtful. So, I mean, I get it.
Yeah. Very sad for Christy. I mean, this was a night where I think that Christy was crying the entire episode. Most upsetting to see her, the frolicking.
To watch Tommy and Holly frolicking around.
That can be upsetting.
It could be upsetting. And she does cry a lot. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, not like a one-off.
Yeah.
I've been crying for weeks now. But I could see that, yeah, I could see this as being very upsetting to someone who is in this incredibly sensitive situation.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. All right, so she ends up, she's going to make a last minute plea to Jackson, but it's kind of falling on deaf ears, Taryn.
Yeah. Look, Jackson, he took his shot. He's playing chess and not checkers. He's gonna live on his feet. He's gonna die on his knees. He's got no bird. He's got no bush. You know, it's Christy plans and God laughs. So
there you go.
I think that explains everything.
Yeah,
I think you got them all. What does that mean? The chess and checkers? Can someone please break this?
No, I got this. So checkers, I think, is a simple game. Like I taught my 5-year old checkers. But
it's that it's simple and okay.
Chess is like there's a lot of pieces, so it's complicated.
Okay, that's it. All right.
I think that's it. Yeah.
Yeah. Maybe it'd be like, hey, we're playing Big Brother, not Survivor.
wait, hold on. Which is which?
I think we know which is which.
Okay, you say so.
I'm a big Survivor fan, so it's fine.
Yeah, that's fine. That's fine. We don't have to say which is Big Brother and which is The Amazing Race.
No.
I don't know. What do you think? Are they comparable?
You tell me. I haven't been on either of those shows.
No, I don't think they're comparable because I don't think it's the same type of game at all.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Mm-hmm. At least checkers and chess, they're both like on a board.
They're on a board. You take turns. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
I mean, I don't feel like Amazing Race and Big Brother are anywhere close. Whereas like Big Brother and Survivor, you could say that there's a lot of similarities.
Yeah, it couldn't be more different in terms of location. Big Brother taking place in a house and Amazing Race taking place everywhere but that house.
Everywhere but that house. That's right. I just want to welcome people that are watching us live on Twitch tonight. So we have been dealing with some issues for whatever reason on the YouTube channel, but we've got it going up on Twitch. We are recording the show. We'll post the whole thing to YouTube after the fact. And of course, the podcast version will be up later on tonight. So if you're just joining us, welcome. Get your questions in hashtag RHAP. We're just talking through Jackson's having to hear out Christy. And Taryn, did he come at all close to thinking about using the veto? There was no chance, right?
No, not really for Jackson. Holly was convinced, and we saw this a bit here, that she was crying with Christy, and Holly did push for it to be used after the conversation with Christy. And it did seem like Jackson, he paused a little bit. Like it looked like he was thinking his options through. He was like, no, I can't do it.
Yeah.
Can't do it. Gotta live on my feet, you know?
Yep. Brittany, do you think that Jackson just, you know, because he's quiet, people think he's more thinking about stuff, but is just like a blank face?
Are you asking me or Taryn?
Yeah, yeah. What do you think about Jackson? Are the wheels turning?
I think the wheels are definitely turning. Perhaps they're spinning, but they're turning.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I don't feel like, yeah, I mean, he has some thought process. I wouldn't say that he doesn't have any game at all. Like, I definitely think he does.
Yeah, I mean, he knows how to carve watermelon and slice watermelon and eat watermelon. So he definitely has some skills.
Did you see how well he balanced those stuffed animals? Come on.
There you go. He's probably used to balancing watermelons.
Exactly. Yeah,
it's gonna carry a lot.
And he did the thing really well, the slippery challenge.
Yes, the flippers.
So there you go.
Yeah, the slip and slide.
Yeah, the slip and slide. He knows how to do that too.
Brittany, have you ever seen anybody ever eat as much watermelon as Jackson does?
No. I haven't really ever known anyone who liked watermelon very much.
Yeah.
Right?
Like, I mean, it's like a sweet treat if you're on an incredibly restrictive diet that's horrible. Otherwise, who is eating this?
Yeah. Taryn, does he have a second favorite fruit?
Rob. Watermelon.
He's all in on watermelon. No,
he also loves grapes. Grapes are a big one.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
Just open up the fridge and just plop some grapes in for a good like 5 minutes.
That's actually really quite healthy in like Big Brother food terms. Yeah. I mean, I think so. Like, I always just ate pure trash the entire summer.
Yeah. Did you have any thoughts on Jackson that breaking the have-nots? It seems as though Big Brother has seemingly done away with have-nots after Jackson. I think we had one more week of have-nots after Jackson was really ignoring the rules. And I think that Big Brother has just given up.
They just gave up. They're
they
like,
gave
you know
up
what?
On it.
Let's just stop, because we're getting more emails with people saying change.com petitions to get it's not worth our time anymore, guys. Pack it up. Pack up the have nots.
Yeah. So we'll see. Jackson has he's a game changer, Taryn.
It's annoying. He should have to sneak that food low key and secretive like everybody else. He should not be able to just be out and about eating. They have not. That's not fair.
Mm-hmm. Okay. So ultimately, our nominations are set for tomorrow night. We'll have more to come on Thursday night's show, and we'll talk about from the live feeds. Christy versus Sis. Let's touch on a couple of the other players that didn't get a ton to do tonight. Brittany, what do you think about Cliff?
I actually like Cliff. And you know what? Cliff is that person who, whenever you see him, the first couple weeks, you're like, oh, well, here's a really easy second or third boot. I mean, like, that's just kind of the assumption. And he's actually done pretty well. Like, he won an HOH that nobody expected. And he has put himself in a decent position in the house. And as the weeks have gone on, I like him a little more and a little more.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. No, he's right in there. And
he's right there, which I feel like you just don't expect it. Like, whenever he first walks in the house.
Mm-hmm.
I really thought he was going to be, you know, second, third boot.
Yeah. I mean, he literally was at one point.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's sort of like, I feel like that's sort of been like a retcon, Taryn, that Cliff did get voted out.
I forget about it all the time. Yeah. Because it was such a weird scenario where it probably wouldn't have happened if they hadn't overheard the Cliff notes. And then it was a blindside on Nicole, who stayed. And then he was immediately back in the house, you know, within 5 minutes, and was HOH again. So it was like, it was sort of like nothing really ever happened.
It was like a fever dream.
Yeah.
Yeah. But no, he was
the last person that you expected to win their way back to. Mm-hmm. Like, you weren't been like considering that was an option. You're just like, go David, and then yeah. It was wild.
What about Nicole? Do you have any feelings about her? We saw her talk about the set design. She really liked the big clamshell.
Okay, what relevance is that? tell me what you're getting at so that I can properly respond.
Well, what do you think of Nicole?
I've liked Nicole since the beginning. You know what I like about Nicole is that she's very self-aware. And like, even whenever she makes a bad decision or whatever, she's kind of hard on herself and says, I know that this isn't X, Y, Z, but she's very aware of herself and what she's doing and very honest. And I've always liked that about her. And that's what I enjoy watching her for that reason.
Do you think she has a shot to win?
I wouldn't say so. I would say it's pretty unlikely just because we haven't really seen her do a whole lot in the game, but I guess, you know, who knows? It really comes down to who she's up against, but I wouldn't say it's super likely.
Taryn, I really feel like that they don't know what to do with Nicole on the show, that she gets stuff like, she's afraid of birds.
Yep.
She was talking about the, like the giant seashell, but I feel like they don't really know what to do with her in the diary room.
They definitely don't. I think all of her major content has been about birds. Like, anytime we see Nicole for more than like 10 seconds at a time, it's because she's talking about birds. Anything else is just completely.
Someone had to answer these questions, you guys. The clamshell cannot go unnoticed. They have to have at least one house guest comment on the clamshell. It just happened to be her. Someone has to answer these questions. Someone has to answer the question of, you walked out in the backyard and what did you see? And it just happened to be her.
Mm-hmm.
Well, Nicole is somebody that, you know, when people are trash talking in the house, she's usually the person, hey, come be nice. be nice. So I wonder if they're in the diary room, like, oh man, that person's a real idiot. Don't you think? She'll be like, hey, hey, be nice. And they're like, okay.
She keeps the producers in check.
Yeah.
Yeah. And then what about Jess, Brittany? She had the big HOH week a couple of weeks ago, but then has gone back into the background.
Gone back into the background. Yeah. Not a whole lot to say there. It's nothing crazy exciting.
No. Just maybe crazy, but not crazy.
When exciting. She went for HOH, I actually read a spoiler or something and I didn't know who it was. And I'm not trying to be rude. I was legitimate. I really was like, wait, who is that? I feel like I've been watching the show for weeks. Like, because, you know, she just hasn't had any major storylines up until that point. And then not really since then either.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I didn't know she was friends with Kat until that was on the show. Like a week. I was like, what? You are? Who knew?
How sad are you about your favorite Kat being gone?
Very sad. She was a light. She was a funny light in that house. And I enjoyed watching her. She was so funny without trying. Like, it wasn't like an effort, you know, to bring humor, but she did. She was my favorite in the house. I really liked her. I miss her.
What do you think of Tommy?
I like Tommy a lot. I've liked Tommy since the beginning. And I think that he's playing a really, really good game. And, you know, even when I wasn't a fan of the big alliance, I always still liked Tommy, even though he was a part of it and a driving force in it. I don't know. I've always rooted for him. I like him a lot.
Yeah. Taryn, I got to see Tommy in another costume tonight. I do like that.
The bathing suit?
There's a lot of costumes this year. There's a lot of costumes. How did we up the costume budget? The costume rent? Budget.
Yeah. Well, look, they got a discount somewhere. You know, the good thing about Big Brother being on in the summer is that there's a lot of these like Halloween stores that open up and then nobody's in them until like September.
They must get so much good feedback. People must just eat those costumes up, because why have someone in a costume every single week when I feel like the norm has been one or two a season, and now it's like they're doling out the costumes left and right.
Yeah,
I mean, Brittany, you saw Sis's chicken costume. I feel like the budget has not expanded necessarily. They've just that was like a dollar store costume with some feathers glued on.
That is on par with what the budget for the costumes has always been. Costume, there's just more of them.
Okay,
did you ever have to wear a costume, Brittany?
I never had like a costume punishment. Let's see. We did the sock puppet and then I had like competition wear, but I was punished in a costume. It's always really fascinating though, how like if you watch the feeds and you're really into it, how the rules work with things like those costumes versus how it appears on TV. It's very different.
Mm-hmm. Now, I know you wore the dinosaur costume on the Amazing Race.
For a challenge.
Yeah. How was that?
Well, we were in Dubai and it was like 103 degrees or something like that at night. And to be respectful, everyone, you know, we wore like long sleeves and pants of the culture. And so it was like heatstroke city. It was so freaking hot. And then you're like putting yourself in like a sauna suit. Like that dinosaur costume is just holding it all in. It was horrible. It was horrible. And you couldn't hear anything because when you would run, it would like shake against your head and it was like wind. It was so bad. You couldn't hear anything. You couldn't see anything. The thing kept falling in your face. I see those costumes around actually quite a bit. Like, I don't know. They just have them randomly. If you like go to a fair or a parade or something, you'll see those costumes. They're haunting me.
Yeah. All right. Well, maybe Big Brother 21 can grab some.
For sure. That costume will happen.
We need more.
I know there's some sort of air up element to it that might cause a problem with audio. So maybe not, but it's possible.
Okay. All right. So I want to take some questions for Brittany, and then we're going to get into talking about what's been going on the live feeds and then get us set up for the eviction coming up on tomorrow night. Sky, we're good with questions? Ready? Yes? Got 2 seconds there for Scott. All right. Of course, if you're joining us late, also, I want to remind people to check out Random Acts of Britney over on TV Co. Make sure you download the app to be able to check out that show. Who did you have on the show this week, Britney?
I'm still working. I'm trying to get Nicole to come on with me this week.
Yes.
So hopefully that works out.
Okay. All right. Check that out at the grab the TV Co app. Okay. Let's take a question. This is from Binky, who says, let me go to Big Brother 21 house guest during the Nick and Christy Expo blow up as per Taryn. Yeah, if you missed it on YouTube this morning, Taryn does a daily live feed update, Brittany, and did a impression of the faces that everybody was making during Taco Tuesday.
Oh my God, that's my favorite.
Yes. Attack on Tuesday will never be the same. So check that out on YouTube. Taryn, you're a meme.
Oh, you know what? Getting Brittany's approval of a meme of myself is pretty up there in terms of life goals. So
I love it. Isn't that your favorite whenever there's like this massive drama going on and you're not like, you're just a spectator? That's my favorite. That's my favorite.
Mm-hmm. It's good. All right. Here's a question from Kieran. It says, Brittany, you're one of the handful of people to be on two of the three reality shows, Survivor, Big Brother, and The Amazing Race. We've yet to see someone complete all three. If Survivor called you for a season, would you go on? Now, you just mentioned about you're a big Survivor fan, and we touched on this when we did the exit interview with you and Janelle a couple of months ago. But yeah, you're into Survivor.
I love Survivor. It's probably my favorite reality show.
That's so interesting.
I love it.
Have you been a long time Survivor fan or a recent fan? So,
this is like a really random story, but my mom was almost cast on season one. She made it to finals in LA and didn't get cast on the show ultimately, but that's when we started watching it. And at this point, I'm very young. I was like maybe in the eighth grade. So then I continued to watch it for many, many years, took a break from it for a while. And then when Hayden from season,
From your season. Well, yes.
When he returned to Survivor, that's got me back into the show. And then I've been watching it every season.
Right. So he came back for Blood versus Water. And then, I've been surprised that I thought he played really, really well. I said at one point that I thought that Hayden was, the best ever one-time Survivor player to not win.
Yeah. I loved seeing him on Survivor. He was so good. Oh, it was so good. I loved that season too. Yeah. That was really,
I feel like they forgot about him. I feel like that they should have brought him back for something.
I agree with you. And they even brought back Beast Mode Cowboy, but not Hayden.
Yeah. Beast Mode. How has Beast Mode Cowboy played Survivor twice? And not Hayden.
I know. Yeah. I loved seeing Survivor.
Yeah. Okay, and you've stuck with it. Any survivors that stand out as some of your favorites?
Oh gosh. Well, I mean, now that I did Amazing Race,
yeah, all the people you raced with,
all of those people are my favorite. You're like totally putting me on the spot.
Okay.
I really like Mike Holloway, right?
Mike Holloway, yes.
The Texas guy, Texas Mike. I loved him. That was one of my favorite seasons because he had to win everything at the end to win that season. Mm-hmm. And that was so epic and amazing. And I loved it. So I really liked him. I liked this last season that was on and I thought it was great, even though it was very controversial who won that season.
Yes.
I still really enjoyed it. I don't know. I always enjoy it. It's okay. Such a good.
It didn't bother you Survivor spoiler alert. It didn't bother you when Chris came back and won?
No, it didn't bother me at all. I did think, okay, so I was kind of not a Devin's fan the whole season. But by the time he hid those idols,
yeah,
like all those fake idols and sat back and watched people find them, I said, fine, I accept him winning this game. I accept it. It's fine. No, he wasn't my very favorite, but you know what? I accept it.
Yeah.
And so I was very resigned to the fact that he was going to win. I thought he has gotten the winner's edit. Like, this is for sure who is going to win this game. So not only was it a huge surprise to me then whenever he won, but I thought that he made a big move that caused him to win the game and that he deserved it for making that move. And so, no, I wasn't. I was in the minority, but I wasn't mad about it.
Yeah. Taryn, do you think that there will be any sort of backlash if Cliff can go on to win after he was voted out? And I know that we are like all of us forget that Cliff was voted out. Do you think that people will be upset?
I think there are a few mitigating factors here. One being that, you know, first of all, it's a huge difference between, you know, being out on day 13, coming back on day 36 or whatever, versus being out for 5 minutes. But also, the way things are kind of playing out this season, lots of people have had very unfair advantages between Tommy and Christy knowing each other, Holly and Kat knowing each other, and now Cliff, you know, kind of getting a second chance. It feels like most people that are in line to potentially win this game had some sort of unfair advantage in their favor at one point or another. So it's almost hard to really be like, well, you know, if all of them are tainted, then I guess we have to just accept one.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Okay. Yeah, I'd be interested to know if we would end up getting like hashtag not my winner.
I don't think so.
Yeah. Listen, never underestimate social media.
I think production would be so happy because I think that then it makes it, it shows you that like these twists and things can pay off. So I feel like from their perspective, it would be great. Like, I think that on Survivor, for example, they were probably very happy with that ending because it's like, oh, look, our whole season long twist actually paid off as massively as possible.
Mm.
It would be the first time in a while that a Big Brother twist paid off.
You set him up for that one. I think that Survivor, I think if Joey Amazing would have had the same exact thing happening, I think they would have been a little more excited.
Yeah.
Okay. This is a question from Tara from Albany. Is Sis as great of a player as she thinks she is? I'll say, right, Brittany, that Annalise, Sis, she is, she's a great player and she knows it.
Not to toot my own horn, but I'm really liked in this house. I have a great social game.
Yeah. So she's got it all.
She has it all.
Yeah. So she knows it, Taryn.
Yeah, Rob, this, you know, I think it was very recently. It might have been the Sunday recap where we were asking, like, is Sis, you know, one of the most, maybe delusional was the word, players? And I said, you know, she hasn't talked about being carried away by a crow yet. but this diary room really reminded me of your interview with Victoria postseason, where she really took credit for a lot of the fact that she was not evicted. And this feels pretty similar to me.
Yeah, that was an all-timer. I believe she also said that she would have beaten Derek if she was in the end with Derek. Yes.
Yeah.
So
just as Sis, I'm sure, would beat anyone in the final two with her great social game.
Yeah. So
there's a lot to be said for self-awareness. This is what I was saying about Nicole, you guys. At least she has some self-awareness. Like, I feel like it's important.
Yeah.
Okay. Then I just to go back to talking about how great everybody else is doing. This was one of my other favorite quotes from the episode. This is Jackson talking about why he has to go after Christy.
Christy's my biggest threat. She has a great social game. She's physically threatening, but even more so, she is a mental animal.
A mental animal.
An animal mentally.
Yeah. That Tara, what animal is Christy mentally?
Oh boy, I mean a lion, obviously.
Yeah,
she's a lion. They're all lions.
Mental animal.
Yeah.
He said that she puzzles good. He doesn't puzzle good, but she does.
And mental animal, not to be confused with.
It looks like everyone's back with their sea creatures.
Sea creatures. Come back with the sea creatures, not mental animals. Okay. Let's take another question from Mr. Robot Taryn. Have you ever played Baywatch? Is it ever funny? Brittany, have you ever played any Baywatch?
No, I don't understand. What do you mean play Baywatch? I thought Baywatch was like
running motion, I guess.
No, I haven't done that.
Yeah.
Shame. It's really fun.
Robot Taryn hate playing Baywatch so much. I was like, is it ever funny? Why? Like, is people play it a lot and Mr. Robot Taryn is over it?
I didn't know that people were playing this.
Yeah.
Robots and sand don't mesh.
They don't like it.
Super well.
They don't like it.
Yeah.
Do we think we're getting the Zingbot this week, Taryn?
As in like next week?
As in, yeah, Saturday.
I would imagine
the Zingbot maybe taking a Yadis.
I feel like we'll get Zingbot back. They really love to promote Zingbot every time Zingbot's there. I wouldn't be surprised if we got Zingbot next week. Yeah.
Yeah. Brittany.
Zingbot must. He is a staple.
Yes.
He is a staple item.
You guys were the first Zingbot, right?
We were the very first Zingbot ever. Yeah. Season 12.
Yeah. Okay. We'll see. But I feel like that we're getting like, we'll be down to what, 7 now, Taryn?
I know. It's kind of late, right?
Yeah, they'll be down to 8 this coming week. So, I feel like it's about the right time. Have they ever approached you to write zings for them, Brittany?
No, they have not.
They should.
But you know, I was going to say perhaps the reason we haven't seen Zingbot yet is because maybe it's still just a little bit too hot in Southern California.
Yeah, it is.
Big Brother 14 incident.
Yeah.
Where Brittany thought that she witnessed someone die.
Yeah.
Eyeballs. Maybe we just don't want to traumatize those house guests the same way. And that is why we're delaying it.
What happened? The Zingbot fell down?
Do you not know this story?
I think I've heard it anecdotally.
It was freaking traumatizing. Okay, it was traumatizing. So what happened was, that was the season where they had Zing and Baby Zing. And so, do you remember that at all? They had like this little baby.
Yes,
Zingbot.
Yes. I know the Zingbot has had a very that he met a wife, then he got married, yeah. Then he's got divorced. It's all
ran for office.
Ran for office. Yeah.
Zingbot is coming. So Zingbot was standing there. At the time, we were on like a deck. Like, we used to have like this wooden deck in the backyard. So Zingbot is standing on the deck, and we're all standing around like he's going to. Meet Baby Zing for the first time. So Baby Zing comes out of the smoke, and all of a sudden Zingbot, straight as a board, falls backwards and cracks on the deck. And we were very confused because we were, you know how there's like that joke that the dad faints in the delivery room?
Okay.
Like,
oh. Yeah. It's part of the bit.
So, right. So at first we're like, God, that fall sounded really hard. But like, is this a part of the whole shtick? Like, we're not sure what's happening. And then all of a sudden we hear him pipe in over the thing and like, medic, medic. And we're like, oh my God, like something really has happened. And doors open up in the backyard that we didn't even know were there. And this guy runs in with like his medical equipment and they're like, get it off. And they start trying to rip Zingbot's costume off, which is only two pieces. It's a top piece and then like pants. It like attaches it like your like belt area. And so Frank is like run over, like we're all like kind of getting close now because we're like freaking out. Frank is trying to help them unlatch. They unlatch Zingbot's upper body. And so the way that they had like hoisted this person, the hands were like up. And whenever they got the top part just above like the shoulders, the dead arms fell out first. Okay. So like now the arms have dropped, and then the face of this hood, and it is white as a ashen face, ghost white ashen face, open eyes, falls out of the Zing costume like this, falls over
like Darth Vader.
Oh my God, it was so scary. It was a female, by the way, which we were surprised, but I don't know why. We just assumed Zing was a male, but Zing was a female this season. So she falls out of the costume with open eyes and a white ashen face, and she's completely unresponsive. And I mean, with open eyes, like you think this girl is dead. And so we're like, oh, she's dead. Oh my God. Like people are crying. Like we're freaking out. Anyways, they eventually get her to come to. She wakes up. She had like a heat stroke in that costume. And what was crazy was we filmed, it was like at night by the time all this happened. And it was still just so hot that she stroked out in that Zingbot costume, hit the deck. Like it was so loud. I can't even tell you how loud it was when she hit it. And then her dead body slumps out, but she was alive. Anyways, we were very traumatized. Some of us cried about that for hours because it was very shocking.
Mm-hmm.
And then she was at the wrap party and she was in a very good mood and she was very happy. And she was like, I'm Zingbot. And I was like, oh my God, you're living. It was great.
Yeah.
So we reunited. I'm confident that she's happy and healthy, but I do think that it's a little bit hazardous to have Zing out there on a hot day.
Yeah. All's well that ends well for the Zingbot. So yeah. So hopefully maybe the Zingbot should be more of like a, you know, early autumn thing. Like maybe like, early let's put it until September. Yeah.
And I have to say, Zingbot on season 12 even was not totally well. He was getting a little heated too. So I think this is a lesson that they had to learn by giving someone a heat stroke. And now they are pushing Zingbot maybe closer to the fall.
Yeah.
They could also just cut some holes. Maybe that might help.
Maybe they have added some ventilation or something. Like it was a total like trap.
Definitely. Yeah. If it's only two pieces, that's...
It's two pieces. And like in season 12, it was in the middle of the day. It was so hot. Zing kept having to go inside during the competition to try to cool down, pulling gloves off at one point. I remember it was not well, not good. And we made this whole backstory as we tended to do on season 12. We made this whole backstory about how some kid was like on Craigslist and saw an ad for like, get paid $500 to dress up in a costume for a day.
Be on TV. Like,
yeah. We were like, oh, it's like some pizza delivery boy and he's so excited and he gets to the CBS lot. They put him in this costume and he thinks he hasn't made and then he's a Zingbot and he's like melting near death, malfunctioning, pulling his gloves off, get me out of here. And they're like, no, perform. I don't know why we always made those stories, but we always like made a backstory for everything on TV12.
I mean, they have a whole backstory for the Zingbot, so it's only natural to have a backstory of the origins of the Zingbot actor. Or actress.
Yes, we always were so curious who was in that costume.
Okay, all things reality TV. Is Christy really this much of an emotional wreck, or is she just good at manipulating the situation? I think she's really this much of an emotional wreck, right?
Probably.
Yeah, I don't know if she's
definitely.
Yeah. And then let's do one more for Edward Morris. How would Brittany have reacted if she found out that two of the cast members on her season knew each other and was not part of the twist?
You know, this is really funny because I thought in season 12, this is so embarrassing to my intelligence, I thought that Hayden and Kristen were twin brother and sister.
Oh, no.
Convince me otherwise. They had matching birthmarks. Like 100%, these two were twins, brother and sister. And I did think that that was part of the twist. And I would say I coped with it well, but I definitely thought we have to get this brother and sister duo out of the house.
Yeah.
I knew they were a duo of some kind.
Yes.
So how did you take it when Andrew blew the lid on that situation?
I had heard rumblings in the house that like, oh, they were in a showmance. And I'm like, they're not in a showmance. You guys are brother and sister. It's normal for them to lay in bed together. They probably shared one their entire upbringing. It's not protocol. This is sibling strategy time. Like, it's fine. Like, I completely disregarded all showmance rumors because I was very convinced that they were twins.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Game of Thrones hadn't started yet, so.
Yeah. Did anybody else get on board with that, or you couldn't convince anybody?
Yeah, this was a conspiracy that was like widely known, and I think maybe more people got off board earlier than I did. But when this theory was first emerging, there were several factors that went into that theory, and the birthmark just being one of them. And there were a lot of people on board.
Okay, is that a thing? Do siblings have the same birthmarks?
I don't know, but those did.
Okay. All right. So we're going to do our live feed spoilers. If you're going to jump out here, we'll be back tomorrow night live with Caitlin here in the studio, 10:15 p.m. Eastern time after the eviction. We'll see either Christy or Sis go home and maybe, I guess, what do you think? Another endurance comp, Taryn?
I was looking at the Big Brother 20. I think it was around this time they did the perfect shot competition, which does, you know, last into the following week. So we might get something like
What's
that.
Perfect shot competition.
Where they have to get tickets and then they exchange tickets for balls and then they roll it down the thing and they try to get it in the hole at the end of it or get it to a certain point and they get a score and all of that stuff. So we could see that, or we could see like we haven't had the knockout competition yet where two people go head to head and then they choose two more people. So, okay. But that wouldn't last into Sunday's episode. So
all right, we'll see. We'll find it all out tomorrow night. Okay. And then before we get to the live feed spoilers, let me just take a moment and thank our sponsor for this episode of the podcast. Those are our friends over at KiwiCo. KiwiCo is the subscription box for your kids that's fun, educational, and helps them develop the creative confidence to change the world. KiwiCo creates super cool hands-on projects for kids to make learning about STEAM fun. STEAM is science, technology, engineering, art, and math. And what's really cool about KiwiCo is that it comes to your house and these are all projects that you can work on with your kid that are things that they can end up playing with once you put them together. So it's time consuming to work on the project and then they have a toy that you help them build, or if they're old enough, they've built themselves that they can go off and play with. There are 7 lines to choose from for kids of all ages, 0 to 16, and they've got a great offer right now where you can get your first KiwiCo box for free when you go to KiwiCo.com/Rob. It's a great value. The monthly options start at just $19.95 a month, and that includes the shipping. It's a great gift for your kids or for any other children that you know. All the supplies that are needed for that month's project are in the box with detailed, easy to follow instructions that you can work on with the kid together. As a parent, we know you're super busy and always on the go. It can be tough to do the grocery shopping, feed your family, go to soccer practice, and get in that quality time together. Work together with your child to create an engaging and exciting project. KiwiCo is a convenient, affordable way to encourage your children to be anything they want to be. There's no commitment. You can cancel anytime. Monthly options start at just $19.95 a month, including the shipping. For our listeners, go to KiwiCo.com/Rob to get your first month for free. Every day counts when it comes to making a difference, so don't miss out on this amazing opportunity. Again, go to KiwiCo.com/Rob and get your first month for free. That's KiwiCo.com/Rob. All right, Brittany, get ready. We're going to talk about what's going on the live feed spoilers to get us ready for Thursday night.
The Office of Civil Defense has issued the following message. This is
a spoiler
warning.
A spoiler
warning means that an actual
spoiler
against this country has been detected and that protective action should be taken.
Okay, thank you, Brittany. I appreciate you getting into our spoiler dancing.
You have so much hype music on this.
It's all hype. It's so much hype.
Jams, like there was a solid 2 minutes of hype jams just leaving in.
Yeah.
It's very important to get us hyped up. We're very low energy before we start the podcast, but then we put that music on.
Put that music on and it just blows to the roof. I understand.
Yeah, we're just like, yes.
And then we're all frolicking.
Tommy and Holly frolicking around.
Yeah.
Okay. We do slow motion dances.
Yeah. But people don't get to see. Yeah. Okay. All right. So Taryn, you chronicled it in great detail this morning on the live feed update, one of the highlights of the season. But where there was, can you tell us a little bit about the blow up from Taco Tuesday and how that spilled over into Wednesday?
Yeah, Taco Tuesday. Christy had been planning on blowing up Nick's game in order to prove to the house essentially that, hey, this is my target. It's Nick, and he isn't good with everyone, and I'm going to call him out on it. She'd kind of backed away from that idea, but Nick heard about it, and so Nick went up to the HOH while she was in there and confronted her, and you know, was just right off the bat. Hey, do you want to do me a favor and keep my name out of your effing mouth? And so she goes, hey, let's do this right. Let's go down to Taco Tuesday, because they were in the midst of creating tacos.
Do they always have Taco Tuesday, or this was a special Taco Tuesday?
I don't think they always do Taco Tuesdays, but I do think they've done Taco Tuesdays in the past.
Okay. All right.
But this was a particularly special Taco Tuesday in that it was where Christy planned to blow up Nick's game.
Why did this big confrontation have to happen on Taco Tuesday?
because it really helps when you can refer to it with an alliteration. I think that not.
Okay. No, just like there was a lot of like that from your telling of it. Like, okay, this is going down on Taco Tuesday.
That was the plan. Christy was like, well, okay, when we do our gratitude circle on Taco Tuesday, I'm going to be like, nice. I'm grateful for Nick's game, which is he's a liar and he's in good with everyone. Didn't exactly work out that way. But so they did go downstairs.
Wait, hold on, Brittany. That do you think that is that the right? If you're going to blow up somebody's game, is during a Taco Tuesday the right time to do it, or do you not want a sully Taco Tuesday?
I guess it really depends on what your ultimate goal is. You know, whether or not you would do it in private or in Taco Tuesday. But I think that for the purpose of making a television show, Taco Tuesday is definitely the appropriate venue.
Okay.
Yeah. She knew that everyone would come out for Taco Tuesday. Nobody's skipping Taco Tuesday, which means everybody's going to be there.
Everybody's into it. Yeah, that was the right choice.
Yeah. Okay. So Nick says, Hey, Christy, Let's find your truths, Christy. Why don't you go and manifest? Use the powers that you have. Let's manifest the truth, cuz. Let's do it.
Right.
And Christy is, you seem a little dramatic right now, Nick. Seem a little dramatic. And they go on to get into this big argument. Christy is explaining all of the bad things that Nick has done in the game and how he's playing everybody. He's in good with everybody. And then he goes, hey, manifest the truth, bro. You know, you're going to criticize me? Just play better, bro. Just play a better game. And so he goes on to explain all the things that she's done in the house and how she was talking about how she was bullied by Jack and Jackson. She goes, oh, that's a lie. That's a lie. Nick freak. Oh, that's a lie, bro. You're lying. It gets crazy. I recommend if you want the full retelling, you can listen to this morning's update or you can watch it yourself or do both.
Yeah.
Brittany,
Have you considered renaming your show TV Co. Tuesday for your show? Would that?
And we could just invite people on and start huge major drama every single Tuesday.
TV Co. Tuesday.
That would be so great.
Yeah. Okay. So, Taryn, that was that last night. And then today, what's been the fallout?
Yes. So, we need to. The conclusion was, congratulations, everyone. Happy Taco Tuesday.
Okay.
Good Taco Tuesday. So,
good Taco Tuesday.
Yes, Taco Tuesday now in the past. We fast forward to today. Now, Christy went and she did campaign to Jackson and Holly after Taco Tuesday. She said to them that my target is Nick. Nick is coming after you. Nick is working with Sis and Tommy. I think I'm making myself clear here. And once again, Holly was convinced. She wants to keep Christy. Jackson, though, Jackson became Stonewall Jackson. He just got real quiet and did not want to talk to Holly anymore because how dare she talk about keeping Christy. He said today on the feeds that he was just thinking. He's just thinking things. He likes to internalize and think things through. And so sometimes, retreating and withholding, but it's just him thinking.
lot to think through there.
Exactly. So today, it kind of got out that Jackson and Holly were considering keeping Christy around. Cliff and Nicole had a conversation about like, should we do that? If that's what they want to do, we promised them our votes. Is that better for us? Is that worse for us? Should we split our votes and make it look like we're not working together as closely? Like, what should we do? They were like, well, let's figure it out later. We'll talk to Jackson and Holly. Christy pitched to Jackson and Holly again after speaking with Cliff and getting Cliff's word that, hey, if I can get Jackson and Holly on board, are you with me? Cliff said, yes. So she went to Jackson and Holly. She pitched to them again. And Jackson was like, afterward, you know what? This is beautiful. Let's do this. You know what? Sis is campaigning to us and she is not saying that she won't put us on the block. Sis is coming for us. It's very obvious. Sis is doing a terrible job campaigning. She's going to Holly and saying, yeah, I can't work with Jackson, but I'll work with you. And she's going to Jackson and she's like, he's like, who are you putting up? And she's like, I don't know. Nick.
No, well, this is the part of her master strategy. This is her mastermind strategy. So I get it.
You know what? It goes beyond 4D chess. We've gotten into 5D chess. We don't even realize how subtle a game she's playing.
Yeah.
When you're so good at the social game, you don't even need to talk, you know, to sell yourself. You just need to say, you know, my social game. The end.
Exactly.
That's how good she is.
All right, this is why we need Brittany on the podcast. So,
Taryn, at this hour, are we officially flipped and Christy is staying?
Yeah. So Jackson and Holly approached Cliff about it. They spoke and they agreed. We're keeping Christy.
Wow.
Wow.
The boat has flipped.
Okay. I like this.
How are we with Christy and Tommy now? Are we well? All is forgiven. We've forgiven Baywatch. We've moved on.
Baywatch was forgiven, but Tommy was not pleased with Taco Tuesday. Tommy was like already planning his game now that Christy's gone. Tommy's very close with Nick. He doesn't like that they're fighting. And so he kind of was like, why did you do that? I don't like that you did that. Now it's going to be hard for me to keep you. And the feed's also cut because there was a wall yeller and they started talking about that. And so we didn't see the end of this conversation. They are not super great right now, but when Christy stays, they'll be fine. There are some people that are like, they've broken up forever. I really, really don't think so. Honestly, I think there's even a chance that the votes are there that Tommy doesn't even need to vote for Christy to stay. He might actually just vote to evict her if they feel very comfortable that the votes are there, so that they can play up this now separation between them. And I think that they will definitely come back together regardless of the outcome of this week if Christy stays.
And where are Christy and Nick right now?
Very much anti one another.
It would look like Christy back to, it would be Christy, Tommy, Jackson, and Holly versus Cliff, Nicole, Jess, and Nick. 4 versus 4.
Well, that's kind of what's interesting here, because it's more like what Christy is proposing essentially is herself, Jess, Cliff, Jackson, and Holly versus Tommy, Nick, and Nicole. But we know that's not really going to be the case, because Christy is always going to be with Tommy. So she's not really going to be loyal to that other group. We also know that Nicole is going to be loyal to Cliff. And so that's also not going to be genuine. And so it's a really messy situation. I think that ultimately Christy can't live up to the promises she's making. She's kind of hoping that Nicole votes against her so that she has an easy out to just put up Nick and Nicole. But she can't put up anybody other than Nick and Nicole right now. She's promising Cliff safety. She's promising Jackson and Holly safety. She's not going to put up Tommy. She's not going to put up Jess, who is a loyal number for her right now, which means if somebody wins the veto, she's going back on her word to somebody. And I have to imagine that if she has to choose somebody to go back on her word to, it's going to be Jackson and Holly, which means might not be the best idea for them to be keeping her, especially because I guarantee you, Tommy will be in her ear saying, you need to go against Jackson and Holly. We shouldn't be going after Nick.
And then how locked in is this? Do you feel like they could switch back before tomorrow night?
I do think it could switch back. I do. It is still pretty fluid, but there are a couple things going for it. One is that Sis is never going to get anywhere. Two is that they don't plan on telling anybody. It's going to be a blindside potentially. And so those things are working in its favor. But if Tommy catches wind of this, I don't know where that goes. We still don't know. I feel like Tommy will obviously be like, oh, great. Well, Christy gets to stay, but now I need to figure out how to make sure that I don't piss Nick off. Mm-hmm. And that might set off a chain of reactions that that changes things. But I do think that Christy now more than likely will stay this week, which is a far cry from where we were even just a couple of days
ago. Okay. Now, Brittany, if we get an interview with Sis tomorrow, how do you think that that's going to go when Julie sits down with Annalise?
What do you mean? Do you mean like in terms of comparing once again to your exit interview with Victoria?
Yeah. What will Sis say? I think it will be,
that she was a huge threat, that she had an amazing social game and everyone knew it, that she was a master manipulator and everyone knew it.
Yeah. Taryn, how do you think that will go? Will Julie drag Sis? Do you think that she'll try to ask simple questions?
I think that we might see a similar situation to what we saw with Jack. I think we're going to see Julie being, hey, sis, there were a lot of viewers that had a lot of problems with some of the things that you said on the feeds. Let's cut to a clip. Then it's a clip of them talking about the shortest day of the year and her saying, well, we'll get to Saturday faster.
Yeah.
Like, what do you have to say about this, sis? Because this was a very controversial statement.
Yeah, that they can go through daylight savings time with her and they explain things about the house.
That was so bad. That was so bad.
So, all right. Something to watch out for. In everything that Taryn updated us on, we heard about very briefly that the incident with the somebody came to the house with a megaphone, Brittany, on Monday night.
I saw this on Twitter. So did anything happen? I saw that it happened. Did anybody like listen or take note of that?
So Tommy and Christy definitely know what the intention was, but it appears that nobody else does. Cliff and Jess talked about it. They said it was stupid. Cliff has said that that you know they're not going to talk about it. It doesn't merit it. That it was a lie, and that they don't believe it. But honestly, even if they thought it was a lie, if they heard what it was actually saying, which is that Tommy and Christy know each other.
Right.
I feel like this flip would be much more tenuous than it is. Because I don't think Cliff is risking keeping Tommy and Christy in together if he has any inclination that they might know each other. So I think they misheard it.
Correctly. Okay.
Yeah, which has been the case for, I believe, every single wall yeller that has ever happened.
We had one time and I don't even remember what they said or what we thought they said.
Mm-hmm. Did you question at all like what they were saying of like was it like, oh, that hey, somebody's yelling over the wall and they must be have accurate information, or do you sort of like,
oh, yeah.
Yeah,
we were definitely like trying to pay attention, but I don't remember even what it ended up being.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, was that in Big Brother 12 or Big Brother 14 or both?
I don't remember which one it was. I feel like it was in Big Brother 12 because I think there were very few people left in the house. But I could be wrong. I might be wrong.
Okay.
Yeah. It also did, because Tommy and Christy know what the intention was, it actually has been a cause of them being more separate because they're worried about people now catching on. And it's actually really helping their games.
Yeah. I got to take this from Liv in the chat. Hey, Hayden and Kristen are brother and sister. They're brother and sister.
When Hayden is targeting Kristen?
They have the same birthmark.
That's exactly why I thought that. It was a wall yeller. You just
reminded me. Yeah, I'm hearing Hayden was targeting Kristen in the bathroom. Oh, no. Guys, Hayden's targeting Kristen in the bathroom. Oh, boy.
Okay. Well, you know what? Let's go back to self-awareness. At least I realize that's embarrassing. Is that worth something? Thank you.
Yeah, that was good. Okay. Tara, anything else before we start to wind up?
I don't think so. I mean, kudos to Christy for playing hard enough to, you know, this is how you stay in the game. If it looks like all the doors are closed, you start blowing things up and see if you can change the current structure of the house and see, hopefully that change opens up some doors and then you are able to walk through them. So you got to give her credit for that. Of course, still having the connection to Tommy is a huge advantage here. She is able to appear separate from him while not actually being separate from him, which is a big advantage to have. And she didn't handle everything correctly, but it's still very, very good play from Christy to save herself this weekend. Definitely to be commended.
Yeah, Brittany, I think that Christy adds a lot to the mix, so I'm happy to see her stay.
She's fun to watch. I mean, you like that hot blubbering mess. Like,
yeah.
It's enjoyable to see on your television.
Yeah, we like it. Okay. Brittany, like any other thoughts about Big Brother 21 or...
My thought is this Taryn Armstrong, I mean, these in-depth analyses,
yes.
I demand that you try to get on Big Brother 22. You're going to be my favorite house guest to watch ever. I mean, It's amazing to me. You have a real talent, Taryn, and I thank you for your gift.
Well, thank you. That means a lot, especially coming from you. I've always loved you on the show. So thank you so much.
You're great, too.
Wait, what was that again?
What?
That high-pitched impressed. And thank you for having me as a part of this production.
Yeah. Would Taryn be, you'd enjoy watching him? You'd watch him on the live feeds?
Totally.
Okay.
I mean, I feel like now he has a lot to prove, though, because I mean, man, you're thinking outside the box. Like, you're really in depth here.
It's a lose proposition.
It's one of those scenarios where it's like, if people already expect that I'd do well on the show, so yeah. I don't even really need to go on the show to prove it, because people already think it, right?
Yeah.
Well, no, I feel
that's the cis doctrine, I think.
I look forward to seeing it happen, hopefully.
Mm-hmm. He only wins 7-2. They'll say, but he only got 7 votes. Mm. He didn't even win 9-0.
Yeah, that idiot. He thought he could describe how to get all the jury votes, but he couldn't.
Yeah, he
didn't. And then I'll be talking the next season. I'll be bad jury management, and people will be like, oh, you're wanting to talk, Mr.
Yeah.
7.
Yeah, okay, he had an unfair advantage. He watched all the live feeds before he went on.
That is not like me here today talking about other people's game when like I'm not a strategist and like I didn't have a brilliant game, and I'm like, yeah, Annalise. What have you been doing? Okay, meanwhile, I was like not a gamer and like not good at it. So, you know, it's fine. We can be in the same boat.
That sounds good.
That's what we do. Like we're just having fun talking about the show, all right? Brittany, this was so much fun to get to catch up. Everybody should get the TV Co app so they can check out random acts of Brittany and everything going on over at TV Co. Anything else that you want to tell people about, Brittany?
No, I don't think so. I just really appreciate you having me. It was a lot of fun. You guys are on top of this season. You are like a little bit more in depth than my level, but you know what? I appreciate it.
Okay. All right. Let me tell you about what else is coming up here on Robin's podcast. Over at Robin Akiva Need a Podcast, Akiva and I headed out west on the Oregon Trail to go all the way from with our caravan. Brittany, have you ever played the Oregon Trail?
Have never, no.
Okay, all right. Well, you travel around the world. This was traveling across the country in the 90s video game classic. Check it out on Robin Community Podcast. And then our mutual friend Eric Stein joined me on the Summer of Stein to talk about everything that was going on. Eric and I said that we stand cis. We were standing her, and that was probably maybe the kiss of death for cis.
Eric did this.
Yeah, but it's Eric's fault.
That's amazing.
Check out episode number 2 of the Purple Pants podcast, now available on its own iTunes feed. Bryce Isaiah is back with episode number 2, Hot Girl Summer, of Purple Pants podcast, our brand new podcast, in our wrap-ups feed from Bryce Isaiah. You can subscribe at robinswebsite.com/ppp. And then check this out. Rob Cesternino is a guest on the Survivor. I was the guest on Survivor Australia. Not Survivor South Africa. I am not on that. This is fake news. I'm not on that podcast.
I think they're trying to pressure you into doing a Survivor South Africa podcast here.
No, I had to binge all of Survivor Australia. I watched 14 hours of Australian Survivor and 12 hours of The Bachelor in Paradise this week. Don't make me catch up on Survivor South Africa. All right. Brittany, here's where I was on The Bachelor in Paradise. We were talking before the show. You're a big Bachelor in Paradise fan.
I've been watching, yeah.
Yeah, my favorite guy is John Paul Jones.
Okay. I am a fan of the Topanga, Blake, everybody else love triangle.
Yeah, yes. Hannah.
Hannah. It's everybody, yeah.
Yeah.
I'm into the Stagecoach.
Yes.
Situation.
Well, yeah, Taryn, on Bachelor in Paradise, there were a bunch of people that hooked up at Stagecoach. There was a girl named Annalise.
Oh boy.
Yeah, there's a lot of crossover to Big Brother 21. So join catch me on with Amy and Haley on the Bachelor in Paradise wrap up this week.
Nice. Yeah,
I'd never heard of Stagecoach until this summer. Now it's everywhere.
Yeah, Brittany, are they finding the Big Brother people at the Stagecoach? Like Robin Cass set up a booth there?
I don't know. Perhaps. I mean, it's very possible.
Yeah. All right, Taryn, maybe you should go to Stagecoach and then that's how you get on the show.
Go to Stagecoach with some of my friends and then hopefully we'll all get cast.
Yeah. They should have an open casting call there. That would be genius.
Yeah. All right. Tomorrow coming up, News AF, Danny Tyson and myself will be back together talking about the latest, most interesting stories from the internet. Check that out tomorrow. And then Taryn will be back for our Thursday morning update. Uh-oh, Jess is in the center spot. Could that mean a Jess HOH is on the way, Taryn?
That may be. Okay. Who knows?
Check that out.
Is that what you're manifesting? Is that what's happening?
Manifest it. Yeah. And then on Thursday night, Caitlin will be back here in the studio to talk about everything that's going on. Just Caitlin, no extra guests here in the studio tomorrow night. And we'll talk about whether or not Christy can make it, if she can pull off the impossible and stay in the house this week. All right. And of course, find out more about everything we're doing behind the scenes over at robhasawebsite.com/patron. That's how we make all of these shows. Robhasawebsite.com/patron for our patron only podcast feed and everything else going on in our patron community at robhasawebsite.com/patron. Okay. All right.
Can I trouble you quickly to give a quick shout out? One of my friends is in labor and they are watching right now. And so Tyler and Ellen and little baby Devereaux on the way, almost here. Just want to say hello to them. They're big fans. So if you'll just say hi to Tyler and Ellen, that would be great.
Tyler and Ellen and Devereaux on the way.
Devereaux on the way. Wish them all luck into this new parenthood journey.
Yes. Okay. May the labor be much easier than being the Zingbot.
Yes. Yeah. And we apologize that this is the first thing that your baby is hearing.
Sorry about that. Yeah. Sorry about that. Okay. Taryn, where can people check you out where you have never a streaming difficulty?
For those of you that joined us on Twitch here, you can hop over to my channel, twitch.tv/Taryn Armstrong, hit the follow button there. I might go live after this podcast to talk about this, this flip we've got going on. We do stuff there. It's a lot of fun. You can also find me on Twitter @ArmstrongTaryn.
Okay. All right. Thanks everybody for hanging in there. Brittany, this was so much fun.
So fun. Thank you for having me. Okay. Sincerely.
Check out Random Acts of Brittany on TV Code. Thank you guys so much for hanging in there throughout the technical difficulties. Take care, everybody. Have a good night. Bye.
Thanks, Rob. Bye. Bye, Taryn.